Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot, oh my. It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here are your supernatural hosts, Patricia Baker and Becky Andreasen. Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Supernatural Girls. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with my wonderful, talented co-host, world-famous numerologist, Patricia Kirkman. Hi, Patricia.
Hello, sweetness. How are you?
I am fine tonight. We've got a great show, a wonderful guest, John H. Reed III, who is Chief of Laboratory Operations at Red Lion Labs. We are going to learn some things tonight, don't you think?
Oh, I know we will. I am so excited about him being on the show because I just love what I've read about him and the things that we've been talking about. Oh, I can't wait for everybody else to hear the good stuff.
Ooh, I know. You know, we need this boost. We need a little help with our consciousness raising and personal transformation. And this is the rocket fuel we have been waiting for, I think. Now, what we need to tell everybody, too, is that both you and I used rosemary, essence of rosemary, that was an alchemical formula that was made by John. And he sent it to both of us. And we both had some amazing results with this stuff, didn't we?
Oh, definitely. In fact, you were talking to me about it, and I said, well, I'm not really sure if I noticed that much of a difference right now. And then I say, I'm getting this done. I'm concentrating more. I feel more relaxed. And you said, oh, really? Surprise, surprise. It was working without you being aware that you're sliding into this new way of handling things.
Isn't that the best? I'm impressed. I mean, I've used essences before and all kinds of white powders from alchemical treatments and all this, and this really was powerful, this essence of rosemary. I found it to be very clearing and cleaning, and it brought some layers of old stuff up that could be released and cleansed from my whole being. It was, and like you said, it was fairly effortless. I had to pay attention. That was the only thing that was required.
That's the whole thing. You don't realize it's happening until you're in conversation about it, and you're going, wait a minute, this has changed. Oh, well, look what I'm doing here.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yes. So it's powerful stuff. John's going to tell us all about it. But before we go there, we had Becky Andreasen and I were on Renee Barnett's show. And Renee's in L.A., and she has a show called Night Vision, which has been going on now for 9 years. And Renee invited us on the show. We talked about our work on the skull experiment. I know you've seen all of our wild pictures. And
fabulous
before the
pictures.
Show, I posted a few of them on the Supernatural Girls website under Supernatural Castle. So if anybody hasn't seen those and you want to see some really incredible photos, go to supernaturalgirls.com and click on the Supernatural Castle tab, and you will see some wild stuff. A fun show. If you missed it, you can still hear it on the Night Vision website. It's actually Inception Radio website, but if you just Google Night Vision, you will be able to pick it up. Or go to our Facebook page because the link is there, too. So that was a blast, and we also have to talk numbers because tomorrow is the day of 14. What do we got coming up?
Well, it's a universal one day, and we're in a four universal month. The one in four are garnered by the sun, so it's kind of a let's get going, let's get out there, let's get it done. The four makes us work to death, which is the month that we're in, but the day says, I'm taking it myself, I'm leading by example, and you all better follow me.
It sounds like a pretty demanding day.
It is, but by goodness, just think of what you're going to get out of it. Because it's not going to be an effort to get these things laid out. We're going to be very anxious to get things completed in that. So you're going to start out tomorrow morning and hopefully have it finished by the end of the day.
I like that. I like to hear that word, it's finished. that term, it's finished. Instead of one more undone thing, it'd be nice to have something finished.
we deserve that once in a while.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, the energy's in the right place for that then.
Most definitely.
And I do have a fun thing, just mm-hmm. And I think it's probably, I'm laughing at it, but I think it's kind of true. I'm laughing because it's probably pretty scary. This paranormal news for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is this, British philosopher Nick Bostrom says, he believes that the reality we perceive around us may be the product of a highly advanced computer program, much like the plot of the Matrix movies. And surprisingly, NASA has said they agree with him. So I love this, because I think it's probably true. What do you think?
Unfortunately, I have to agree with both of you.
So here we go on, a little bit more information here. Dr. Bostrom proposed in the paper. Yeah, everybody's going to want to know this. He wrote that an evolved race of aliens have imprisoned the human race in what he refers to as a digital imprisonment. These aliens, or superhumans, are using virtual reality to simulate and time, according to Bostrom. And this, he thinks Bostrom, and NASA's scientist, Rich Terrell, he thinks Bostrom may be onto something. Because he said, right now, the fastest NASA supercomputers are cranking away at double the speed of the human brain. And if you make a simple calculation using Moore's law, you'll find that these supercomputers inside of a decade will have the ability to compute an entire human lifetime of 80 years, including every thought ever conceived during that lifetime in the span of a month. Wow.
That's scary.
So, yeah, and it's like, wow, you know what? This could be true. We could be imprisoned digitally and not even know it.
Go out to dinner someplace and look at the tables around you. Nobody's talking. They're all using their little computers.
They're all using their computers, and I think we all may be plugged into this matrix just like the movie. But mm-hmm. then again, the purpose of alchemy, is it to help us free ourselves from this digital imprisonment? I think it might be. I hope there's a way out of it. My gosh, nobody likes to be in prison. So anyways, we got to bring our guest on now. John Reed, as I mentioned, John H. Reed III is his full name. He is the chief of laboratory operations at Red Lion Labs. He's been studying and practicing the hermetic sciences of alchemy since 1984. He's the author of two books, The Minor Opus and Alchemical Gnosis, Yoga of the West. John has studied within the tradition of Frater Albertus, maintaining association with some of his students, such as Russ House and the late Hans Ninsel and Jack Glass. And a wonderful quote from John, he says, "Nature has granted me specific alchemical knowledge through my years of practical efforts in the lab. And I give her the credit." So John resides in New York, and he's joining us tonight live on Supernatural Girls Radio. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Patricia and Patricia. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're excited to have you, John.
I'm excited to be here, that's for sure.
Oh, great. Well, now please start us at the beginning, because you've had a very interesting life and a very interesting path that took a few turns along the way. How did you end up doing this work?
Well, indeed, it was a circuitous route. As a young man, I was born into the Seventh-day Adventist faith, and needless to say, I found it rather restrictive in its view of the world. Still, I really did believe in heaven and hell. And I made the decision at a young age that since I could not live in that type of heaven, I would rather rule in hell. And I jumped with both feet into Satanism. As far as I was concerned at that time, the world was black and white. I was absolutely stuck in duality. Or as you were talking about this fellow in England, I believe you said he was, a digital imprisonment. Fast forward a few years. As a young man, I had always had an interest in the occult. I remember going to the library, and there were very scant titles on the subject. I did find one interesting book called Prelude to Chemistry by a fellow named John Reed. He spelled his name differently, but I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. Same name. I used to, as a child, my parents would tell me, sleepwalk, and I would be in the basement looking for my laboratory, I told them.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yes, many years later, that's where my first laboratory was, but getting a little bit ahead. When I got old enough to leave home, I did leave, and, you know, I was full-blown into being an angry young man or a rebel without a cause. And I wound up in Texas. At that time, I was trying to learn more about magic, and I happened to go to an occult store, and I asked the lady, hey, you know, can you introduce me to someone that will teach me about black magic? And she looked at me rather oddly, needless to say. And she said, well, I don't know about that, but I know a young man that can help you. He's a hermetic magician. Well, I never heard of that. And again, I didn't know that there was such a thing as good magic, bad. You know, it was all black and white to me.
Right.
I met this fellow named Charon. That was his magical name. And he got me interested in alchemy. He actually gave me my first book on alchemy. And he also helped me step out of Satanism. He introduced me to Hermetics, a book by Franz Barden called Initiation into Hermetics. This is the first time I realized that a person could actually do magic and do good.
That's quite a revelation when you were on the path that you were on.
Yeah. I remember my first alchemy book that Tim gave me. He said, here, I have something for you. And I said, okay. And he held out the book, and he was holding on to it while I took it in my hand. He said, it's a book on alchemy. I want you to promise me that if you ever find the elixir, you will share it freely with doctors and whoever needs it. And, of course, at that time, I'm still young and just, you know, I'm blowing them off. Yeah, yeah, Tim, whatever. Charon, whatever.
I'll give you the book.
Yeah,
right.
He holds on to it, and he says, no, look me in my eye. And I do, and he says, promise me. And that was one of the few oaths that I ever made, because I'm really brusque at the idea of making some type of oath that's going to restrict me. He laughed after I made the oath, and he said, you just don't know what path I've set you on. And I never saw him again after that. Now, interestingly enough, again, he had basically taken away all of my black magic power. I got into magic with three main ideas: to get money, women, and power, not necessarily in that order. But after being introduced to Hermetics and everything and having stopped all that, I went through a trial period, you might say, a test, a probation. And it seemed like everything was falling apart in my life. I had no power. I couldn't make things happen. I had gotten a very good job as a baker at an exclusive grocery store, a real upscale store where we were making European-style breads. I had been trained as a baker, and all of a sudden, everything that I had gotten through the use of that type of energy started just peeling away, just dropping away one after the other. So one day, I'm at my wit's end. I'm driving to a job interview, and I'm literally driving on fumes. I run out of gas, and I just had a few dollars in my pocket. So I walk to a gas station. I ask the fellow, listen, can you, I need to buy some gas. I don't have a can. And he's like, well, it's $20, and all I have is $20. All right, you know, your hard luck, whatever. Here, take the can, but you better bring it back. I take the can. I fill it up. I go to my car. As I approach my car, I see my hood is up. I get this sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Uh-oh.
I go and I look, and sure enough, someone has stolen the battery. Not just stolen the
battery, oh my
but
goodness.
Cut the cables.
Oh, Lord.
So
oh,
now
no.
I walk back to the gas station, and the guy is saying, well, what happened? What are you doing back here? Where's your car? And I tell him. And he looks at me, and this is the strangest thing. I mean, I know it's not coincidence that he said it. He said, I don't know what you've been doing in your life, but you're paying for it now.
Oh, my goodness.
So I walk back, tears in my eyes, frustrated, just, you know, really, you know, look, divine providence. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm at my car, and I'm, you know, just... For the first time in years, I reach out to something that's higher than me, that's beyond me. And I say, where is my comforter? At that exact moment, this fellow drives up in the car and pulls over to the side. He gets out, and he has this serenity about him that completely puts me at ease.
Oh,
he asks, hey, you look like you need some help.
Oh,
I explain to him what happened. He looks and he says, okay, fine. He drives me back to the station that I had gotten the gas from, buys cables, buys a battery, comes back, puts it into my car, hooks up the cables. He looks at my tires and says, oh, by the way, it looks like these guys took the weights off of your tires. Who takes the weights off of somebody's tires?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So he looks at me and he says, okay, goes into his wallet. He takes out $50. He gives it to me and he says, go get your car balanced. Go get something to eat. And don't worry, you're going to get the job.
Aww.
Now I go, car balanced. I get something to eat. And while I'm eating, I realize, I never told this guy I was going to get a job. I was going for a job interview.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just heard, though. Goodness gracious.
Oh, my.
You know? And it was, that was the turning point. Sometime later, I went to a psychic fair, and I'm a rather cynical person by nature, which is good in lab alchemy because you need to be able to verify and really hold yourself accountable. And it's real easy to declare victory and say, okay, I've done what the ancients said and, you know, declare victory and go home.
Yeah.
So that side serves me very well. But I went to a psychic fair and there was this fellow. I don't remember his name. But I found it so odd that he said, and I was just learning alchemy. I mean, it was maybe a year or two into it. And he said, you're going to become world famous. People are going to know your name on every continent, and they're going to come to you from around the world to learn alchemy, and you're going to write books on it. And I looked at this guy, and I was like, I laughed.
Check his water cup.
Yeah, it was, you know, what are you drinking? What are you smoking, man? Come on. I've got a 12th grade education. You know, nobody wants to hear what I've got to say. But that, of course, did come true. And that's how I got into alchemy. Years later, I found Frater Albertus's books. I started getting all of his material. I remember I found out about Frater Albertus the year he died and the college closed. And when I called and I asked, because I had just this innate feeling that that material was very important. And so when I called, the woman said, well, we just have one set of the Alchemical Lab bulletins and these other magazines and his writings and things, one complete set of everything. And I asked her how much it was, and it was extremely well, back at that time, it was expensive for me, but it was about $300 to $500, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. for the entire set of things. I was working at a camera store processing film. I was not, you know, minimum wage at the time was $5.
Right.
So I thought to myself, I need to get this now. But how am I going to do it? Well, I turned off my cable for a month. I still didn't have enough money. You know, I set aside money that I needed. I knew I would need for gas and to pay my rent. And everything else, even at that time I was smoking marijuana, I said, you know what? Nothing. I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to not have cable. I still didn't have enough. It came down to, am I going to eat for the next 2 weeks?
Oh, my goodness.
When I took the money for my food, along with everything else, I had exactly enough to get everything. What that meant was, for those 2 weeks, I had to eat hardtack, which, again, I had been a baker, but I didn't have enough money to buy yeast, but I did have salt and pepper in the house, so unleavened hardtack, coffee, but no sugar, no cream. And that's what I lived on for 2 weeks so that I could get those Alchemical Lab bulletins. And what's so interesting about that is that in 2001, 9/11, when we were attacked, I had been scanning those bulletins all that time, up to that time. And someone had said, you know, why don't we put it on the internet? Why doesn't someone put it on the internet so everyone can have it? And then the attacks came, and people were crying to, you know, hate all Muslims and all of that stuff.
Oh,
and I posted the entire set anonymously. But it was a really good feeling because it just seemed to be a synchronicity at that time, that transmutation, that we needed to use our art to not only transmute ourselves, but our nation and the way we look at each other. And that is basically the short story of how I got involved in alchemy. They say that you either come to the art pure or it will make you pure. And I am a living example of that latter part of the statement.
How fabulous. How fabulous.
It is. It's a great experience that you're talking about, and how, you know, you started out one way with satanic belief. It was going to give you all of these wonderful things that we seem to be taught to crave in this society. But then you were able to make another turn. And then, again, it's almost like you hit that dark night of the soul type of feeling with this event with your car. But when you cried out for help, there was that angel. There was that man to help you right there.
Yes.
Out of nowhere.
Yes. And I'm not a, you know, like I said, I'm cynical, but I have no other word except to say that this man was an angel. Mm. I don't know how else to describe it. I can't describe the peace. I was literally beside myself. And the moment I saw this man, there was such a peace, profound peace emanating from him. I knew immediately that everything was going to be all right. And I, I'm circumspect about putting those type of labels on things, but I have no other explanation for that, except he was an angel or something of that ilk.
The fact that you have so much to offer others, without that angel stepping in, look what we would have been missing.
Yes, yes. Most definitely.
It was a gift to all of us.
It definitely true. Yes. Yes. amazing story. And again, listening to you speak, John, is a gift for us because everybody in our audience can take heart experience. I mean, we've all gone through hard times, and we will again. So it's nice to know that when you call out for help, that it will be answered. It certainly was in your case in a major way, and people should know that it's the right thing to do, to definitely ask for help. It's a good mm-hmm. message.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. If there's one thing that alchemy teaches, is that one of the first main tenet of Hermeticism is that the universe is mental, is that there is not an overriding God in heaven, as it were, but there's a sentience to life, to everything around you, and it's all connected. And we are not in red tooth and claw. Even when we were, you know, living a quote-unquote primitive lifestyle, our ancestors survived. Yes, it was difficult, and they had struggles and everything else. But look how they learned to master their environment, to be one with their environment. Especially today, we've lost so much of that. You know, when ethnopharmacologists go to study indigenous people, they invariably ask them, you know, how did you learn this complete pharmacopoeia? You know, they know the use of hundreds, if not thousands, of different plants, and they don't have, you know, chemical analysis and gene machines and everything else that we have today. And the people will tell them, well, the plants taught us. If you even go to the Wikipedia page about ayahuasca, the article states that it's unclear how these people learned how to use it, but they say the plant spoke to them. Now, the fact of the matter is, and this is something that alchemy teaches, is that all comes from one and arises from one by adaptation. And shamans and mystics have been saying, you know, since we've been on this earth as human beings and have had shamans and mystics, they've seen beyond the surface layer. They've seen to the core, and they say that we're all one. Now, science is starting to prove that with a thing called comparative genomics. It actually shows that we as human beings share a percentage of our DNA with every living thing on this planet, from fungus to mice to pine trees to rice. Everything is a part of us. Some of our DNA is shared. And this isn't just a cool fact. I mean, it really demonstrates that this interconnectedness allows for that nonverbal communication to happen, where we can learn. And in alchemy, we call that a thing's arcanum. The alchemist sees everything in nature's kingdoms, plant, animal, minerals, as being alive, and they all have an arcanum, or what's known as a secret intelligence. And the whole thing about this is that these things have evolved along with us. And so they're there to help us. They want to help us to achieve our greatest potential. And so it's quite interesting that in alternative medicine, a lot of people will say, well, you know, we're going to treat your body, soul, and spirit, but they look at the medicine that they give you as only having an effect on your physical body. When in fact, because it too is alive and possesses a body, soul, and spirit, it will interact with you in ways that will show you what you need to do to evolve, which is, you know, when a product is made properly, and the only way to preserve that arcanum with common plants, because if a planet has psychoactive properties, of course you can make it and put it through all types of extraction and harsh methods, or, you know, handling that's not really meant to preserve its vitality, its nature. But a common plant like rosemary, you know, people you use that for, you know, Italian seasoning in your sauce or on your pizza.
Sure. That's something, a common herb that we all use in our cooking,
yeah.
Most of us do. So, yeah. But yet you were able to work with it in such a way that something else happened. Something else happened that when both Patricia and I took the essence in,
right,
we changed.
Yes, that's the arcanum. And because, again, the reason why it's able to work with you and speak to you is because we're all one. So it has the ability to not only cause a physical reaction with you, but it is also going to show you, if you use it within a hermetic paradigm of meditation and initiation, it will also show you those aspects of yourself that you need to work on. A lot of people who took the product said, well, you know, I found myself, because rosemary is a sun herb, and it deals with pride and humility, but it's also ruled by Jupiter, and that is cunning. So those aspects, or what we would call cardinal sins or virtues, come to the fore. And we're able to see that, okay, I need to do some work on myself. So some people who were just naturally very humble and weren't rather forthright found themselves being more forthright. Mm-hmm. Other persons found themselves, you know, having psychic experiences and hearing what other people were saying in rooms and offices two or three rooms away. These things will open you up, and everyone has a different type of experience. But the fact of the matter is that that's what this product is. It's a catalyst. It acts as a soul catalyst. And these plants, these minerals, want to help us get to a point where we understand ourselves and are able to step into the true realization of who and what we are. And that's their job. That's part of their job, is to help us evolve.
You were able to prepare this essence in such a way that it was quite powerful. Now, how long did it actually take you to make this rosemary essence?
That particular one was a 9-month project.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. It's when you do true alchemical or spagyric, and I'm going to just go on a side tangent here for a little bit. There are two things called spagyrics and alchemy. And a lot of people say that the words are interchangeable, when in fact they're not. Spagyrics is really about a manual methodology. And in short, it means to separate, purify, and recombine. Now, what most herbal companies do today, in a very broad sense, might be considered spagyric. They take the herb, they separate out from it what they call its active constituents, they concentrate them, and then they put it back into a final product. And that would be, you know, separate, purify, recombine. Fortunately, in spagyrics, we do have certain methodology that we use to say, you know, it has to follow this procedure in order to be called spagyric. But the spagyric process is a manual method that is meant in a very crude, basic way to mimic nature. And the spagyric process, when done properly, preserves and opens up this arcanum, this secret intelligence. It preserves the vitality of the plant. So the spagyric process is a manual thing, whereas the alchemical process is what distinguishes it from the spagyric process is this thing that we call the philosophical mercury. When it's poured onto a substance, it causes a radical dissolution. And whereas the spagyric process uses laboratory methods and devices to bring about a separation, The philosophical mercury will do it in the space of about 15 minutes without any external heat. And you can literally see the if the plant has an essential oil, you pour this substance onto it, and you literally see the essential oil and what we call the quintessence separate out visibly from the plant. And mind you, in the plant world, the philosophical mercury is made from wine and the products that one can get from wine. It is not ethyl alcohol, but it is made from wine and the products that one gets from wine. And that might be a little bit too technical and snobbish, but
well,
I just
but
like
it's,
to
but again,
that,
I think what we're talking about, what I'm glad that you're letting everybody know in our audience is this is a step-by-step process. Has been proven over centuries, and it really works, and there's something magical that does take place that has a profound effect, because the people that listen to our show, for the most part, are very interested in their own personal transformation, and there a lot of people have a strong commitment to wanting to see an improvement in their lives and in who they are, but as you and I and Patricia and everybody listening well knows, a lot of the things that we need to change are, like, hidden from us. We're so used to being a certain way. And these essences, like the rosemary you sent to Patricia and I, that kind of brought all this stuff up to the surface and said, here it is. This is what you need to change. And as Patricia said, it was more or less effortless. Mine was not so effortless because it surfaced something through a dream, and I went, oh, no, not that. And it was a deeper layer of something that I had worked on in the past, but there was another layer of it, and the rosemary brought it back up. So I did the work on it again in a new way. But again, these are the things we're looking for. Now, I am probably going to guarantee you that I will not be making these essences myself. But I will come to you. Yeah, really. But we will come to you, John, and say, what do you got for us? Because we're on the path, and we want to know what we should be taking, et cetera. So I know all of these different herbs you were saying have produced different effects. And then on top of that, these effects can be different with each person, which is how it should be, because we're all individuals. But,
exactly.
For example, you've been working on ginseng lately, working with that. Now, what do you think is going to happen with ginseng for people, just in an overall way?
Well, ginseng, again, is in the tradition that I follow, it's considered a Jupiterian herb. So that is cunning in wisdom. But it's also a very earthy herb. And so physically, what people are going to find is a very marked increase in energy. Much more body. While the rosemary was more ethereal and expansive, energetic in that way, ginseng is, for want of a better term, it's yang. It's going to make a man feel virile, and you're going to feel like you can lift 1,000 pounds or something like that. It's a very body-centered, Malkuth-centered, material-centered type of herb. But it will also, again, because it's about cunning and wisdom, it's going to bring up things. It's going to show you things about yourself, the way that you're acting. It's going to bring to fore some personality traits that maybe you have hidden from, because that's the other part of alchemy. It's esoteric psychology. And if we really want to get to a point where we have mastery of ourselves, we have to be able to shine light into those dark places. You know, in psychology, they say that there's the original self, the original innocence, as it were. And when we all are born, we're, absolutely perfect, and then our parents and society get a hold of us, and everyone starts trying to shape us and put us into a box, and don't touch yourself there, don't think like that, we don't say those type of things, we don't, we don't want this, or we want that, or, whatever it is. You just start having this psychic plastic surgery performed on you. And pretty mm-hmm. soon, as a child, you realize that, well, you know, I've got to conform, because even though this is a nonverbal period for you, you realize that, you know, parents being happy means safety and food. Parents not being happy is, you know, dangerous for me. I could be left in the wilds. That stuff is still genetically within us. Our DNA holds more information than all the information that's on the internet right now, you know, by a factor of about 1,000 or 1,000,000. So everything that has happened and transpired within our species, within all life on this planet, as a matter of fact, is stored in memory in our DNA. And so even though we're at a nonverbal stage, we realize we've got to conform in order to survive. And so in seeking to conform, what we wind up doing is creating what is called the false self, the persona, the mask. And that is the personality that gets us through, where we have approval. But in doing that, those parts that we've disowned, that we've shoved away, are termed shadow. And of course, a lot of times, those are the best parts of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because, again, the shadow concept is often perceived as negative, but it really isn't. It's exactly what you just said. It's the parts that have been shoved away in just in place of survival mechanisms. And
exactly.
We need to reclaim that. We need to reclaim all of that energy, all of those parts of ourselves. And so is this what alchemy helps us with?
Most definitely it does. That is the work, the inner work of alchemy, is at first changing your perception from one of seeing that most people think, you know, they learn law of attraction and they think, I have to attract something to me. Well, that sets you up at a detriment, because you're at point A and what you want is at point Z, and you've got to somehow bring it into you. When the fact of the matter is that you're really reflecting self-emanation. And the reason why you're not able to have the things that you want is because whatever trauma it was when you were seeking to conform has short-circuited or entangled that energy. And your system, which is extremely brilliant, I mean, it's kept us all alive, all life alive for, you know, billions of years. So it knows every trick of the trade that the ego, which at best is, you know, maybe 100 years old if you have a very old person, but for me it's only 54. So what is my 54-year-old cunning going to do against billions of years of knowledge and evolution? Nothing.
Right.
System is going to protect itself. And so what has to happen is the one thing that it can't protect itself from is unconditional love. So you have to go to these parts as if it were a child that were crying. And, you know, if you came to a child that was crying on the street and it was, you know, you could see it was visibly, the child was visibly upset, you wouldn't say, okay, well, we need to do a release and you need to attune yourself or, you know, something like that. You'd sit down next to the kid and comfort it and say, you know, what's wrong? Well, I don't have my mommy. It's okay. You're safe. You're here with me. I'm going to make sure that you're safe and we find your mom and you're going to engage with it. That's the same thing you need to do with those hidden parts, those shadow parts, those things that you've been told were bad. And mind you, if for 50 some odd years someone had you locked in a dark room and then all of a sudden opened the door and said, okay, well, I understand you, you'd be somewhat incredulous of them at first. They'd need to prove themselves to you because
That's
you
true.
Went through however many years of being isolated.
Right.
It's the same with this. It's the same with that internal energy. But once we do that, once we have learned to be comfortable with what we call pleasure and those parts of ourselves that we'd rather not look at, we develop an equanimity, a balance. And once that's done, that energy becomes untangled. And so the energy that was protecting you or protecting some aspect of your original innocence that was saying, okay, well, you know, for whatever reason, I can't have wealth or I can't have good relationships or whatever it was that originally caused that constricture of energy. Now the energy realizes, okay, he's listening to me. He understands that this problem is there.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people make those associations at an early age that relationships are dangerous or money is bad or whatever, and they don't even know that they're stuck with a belief like that that they cling to that they think is keeping them safe. But you're so right. So then, again, with alchemy, you can bring that to the surface in a whole new way and release it so that it's not doing these terrible things to you anymore. Because whatever you thought kept you safe in the past doesn't mean it's going to keep you safe in the future. In fact, it becomes a saboteur as you get older.
Yes, it does. And that's the whole idea behind this, is one, to develop that equanimity, that total radical self-acceptance of self. And once you've been able to do that, now you're ready to dive into the real deep aspects of it. Now you're able to find your life's purpose. Now you're able to start making contact with beings that are of different realms and learning. A lot of what I know in alchemy, I got via dreams. Now, mind you, when I first started making these things and taking them, nobody had said that you're going to have this psycho-spiritual experience. Had I thought about it a little deeper, I guess I would have realized that it should have done something. But, you know, I'm Taurus, I'm body-centered, so, you know, I was like, okay, it's going to prepare me for higher energies. That's basically what they said, but I didn't really realize what it meant. The dreams I started having... We're so
now, before you go any further, because we want to hear about these dreams, because this is, again, one of our favorite topics. But hold that thought, because we need to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. Now, if you have a question for John tonight, you can call it in at 646-478-0828. Again, that's 646-478-0828. And I see there's a lot of questions coming out in the chat room, and we'll get to as many as we can when we get back, when we're going to start with hearing about John's dreams. So stay tuned, everybody. This is a great conversation tonight. We will be right back.
Very fast.
Property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic One Company. As one of the pioneers of the Organic One movement, since 1980, I have brought you the very best and most authentic organic wines directly to your table. I work with small family estates who grow certified organic grapes and produce exceptional wines. You can purchase our wines individually from our website at theorganicwinecompany.com or join one of our wine clubs. Our organic wines are perfect for you and for your family as gifts for friends and relatives, and they are simply spectacular for the holidays. Visit us at theorganicwinecompany.com to enjoy the very best organic wines conveniently delivered to your door. I am Veronique Raskin, passionate about my mission. I offer to you vegan, organic, and biodynamic wines, wines made by people of the heart, wines with a heart. Au revoir. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Are you searching but not sure what for? Does happiness seem like it's always around the corner, or perhaps fleeting? Life can seem like you're winning on the outside, but on the inside, you might be running on empty. Well, it's high time to rendezvous with your soul. Imagine being able to let go of emotional baggage effortlessly and have less mind chatter, freeing you up to be present to your beautiful, magnificent self. Wouldn't that be nice? More silence and the ability to hear your own true voice within. To be where life is, and joy and love is your natural state. This is all possible with Cosmic Fusion's 5D++ Awakening and Transformation Workshop, which will bring the quantum vortex, scalar wave, photon pulse in your life, the all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present mother of all frequencies and vibrations. This energy signature, direct from Source, is then available 24/7 to upgrade your potential to infinity and support you through exciting and profound shifts. This is something that cannot be explained. It simply must be experienced. But don't take our word for it. Visit our website for some life-transforming video and written testimonials shared right from the heart. So don't wait and visit CosmicFusion.com. That's CosmicFusion.com. www.CosmicFusion.com to find out more. Your soul is awaiting your transformation.
Among Patricia Kirkman, myself, and John H. Reed III, Chief of Laboratory Operations at Red Lion Labs. We are hearing all about alchemy tonight, how it can be the rocket fuel for your consciousness. And we left off, John, when you were about to share some information about what happened to you with your dreams. So please, go ahead. What happened?
All right. Well, when I first started making alchemical products, I'm Taurus-based, so I just thought it would be a physical experience. I'd say about 6 months in having made these things, I started having these very lucid dreams. I mean, so lucid that it reminded me of my days when I used to try acid. It was extremely lucid. Conversations with beings on the other side in different dimensions. One of the first dreams I had was on the Sephrotic level of Yasod on the Tree of Life, and that is the astral plane and is also the moon is associated with it. The dream I had was I was standing on a mountaintop and this full, pregnant, bright moon started rising up from below my feet. But not just seeing the thing, I mean feeling it. I could feel these waves of energy just whoom, whoom, just passing right through me, resounding right through me. And I found myself being taken into this silver orb. And the lessons that I got in there were just so profound. Another dream that I had was on the Chesed level, Jupiter. In that particular dream, I found myself in a palace like Versailles. It was beautiful, and I'm floating down this hallway, and I come to this door that's made of has ivory handles and is inlaid with all types of gems and things like that. The door is opened up, and what I see are, you know, bookcases that just go as, you know, beyond infinity and as high as high could be. And there were spiral staircases that were going up, and I knew immediately that I was in the Akashic record. Well, Frater Albertus had been dead for some time at that time. And I walked up one of the staircases, and there was a lectern, and there was Frater Albertus. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And he starts speaking to me, and he's pointing to items in this book. And the pages, I can tell something's there, but the pages are blinding white. And he's pointing to all these different things, and he's speaking, and I can understand but can't understand. And then he looks up to me and he says, "Are you a good hermetic scientist?" Mm-hmm. And at that time, I could feel the scales of my heart, you know, being weighed. Mm-hmm. And I was unsure, you know, should I tell him the truth or should I lie? Because the truth to me at that time was no. I wasn't a good hermetic scientist. I didn't meditate on a regular basis. You know, I basically didn't, quote unquote, have religion. I wasn't following the linear, you know, things of what it would be to be good hermetic scientist, at least what were in my mind. And after a moment of pause, I decided to tell the truth, and I said no. And I began to list the reasons why I didn't think I was a good hermetic scientist. Immediately, Frater slammed the book down, and I felt myself fall back into my body. And I got up, and I was so despondent. I was like, oh, my gosh, I've lost my chance. You know, I'm kicked out of, you know, whatever it was. 3 days after that, I started having major breakthroughs in the laboratory. And that's when I understood that what divine providence considers good and what we consider good are two different things. And it really is about your heart and staying true to yourself and who you are. And for a long time, I thought that, you know, well, I must be special. It's, you know, I haven't heard of anybody doing this. I went to a seminar. And there were some people from France, and they were talking about alchemy and initiation. And the guy started detailing different dreams that you have that are representative of the different sephrotic levels on the Tree of Life. And my jaw hit the floor because this man was describing the very dreams that I had. And that's when I realized that this thing is natural. It's not something that I'm doing. It's just as natural as breathing. And it's just as natural as planting a seed. And when you plant a seed and it's in the right matrix and it has the right conditions, it's going to grow. And that's the same thing that happens with alchemy. If you take this product, these products, and you engage in the hermetic paradigm of meditation and initiation, you can't but help to have experience that's going to begin to change you. And change you in ways that, you know, are quite unexpected. But again, there is initial preparatory things that need to be done. And we do have classes about that. We'll be, tomorrow there'll be some information up on the redlionlabs.com website under AIR. Which stands for Alchemical Inner Reconciliation, that gives a little more detail about this for those of your listeners who might be interested. And you can send us an email, contact us, use the contact form. And we will be, in a very short time, taking more students on. Our first products will be available via our Indiegogo page. Again, if you go to redlionlabs.com, click on our Indiegogo link, and you'll be able to read about it. And we'll be having actually the rosemary that you and Patricia have tried, and also some ginseng and some classes that are steeply discounted. Generally speaking, we like to do this on a one-to-one type of basis, but we are having group classes and also private classes. So depending on what you would like for an incentive, a level of incentive, you can either sign up for a group class or a private class. And of course, then there are also just the products by themselves, which you'll be able to that have incentives for the for them also.
Now let me ask you, John, because this question's coming up quite a bit in the chat room. People want to know, since it does take you months and months to make these essences, how expensive are they? How much do they cost? Like if somebody wanted to purchase the rosemary, what would the cost be?
The rosemary is $45. And that's for a 5-mil bottle. Now, everybody's going to say, oh, my goodness, 5 mils, $45. You have to remember, and Patricia can attest to this, if you go out and you know, just buy a regular rosemary extract or tincture, you know, they're telling you to put 26 to 56 drops into a cup of water. Our products, all you need is 1 to 7 drops. I use 7 drops because I'm a big guy. Everyone, and we've had almost 50 people evaluate the rosemary, every last one of them said 7 drops is too much. 1 to 3 I'm comfortable with. That
I
just
use
goes, that goes to show you the potency of this product.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it really doesn't sound that expensive to me because, again, you know, Patricia and I tried the products, and we know how powerful they are. And like you said, you need a very small amount to get the desired effect. And, again, what it's going to do is mind-boggling in terms of the power of these essences. But now, can people come to you and say, look, I'm on the path, and I feel blocked. What essences do you recommend to me? Do you do that kind of situation where you'll recommend essences to them?
Yes, I do. But what I prefer to do in those type of cases, because it's not just you take this product and it's going to have an effect physically and spiritually. But if you don't know how to use it, it's not going to be sustainable. And what we are about are sustainable transformations. You know, we don't want something that's going to give you a quick fix and then, you know, you're back where you started 3 to 6 months later. This
is
something.
That's an important part of this. Yes, you don't want to go backwards after that. You want to keep going.
This is a practice. This is a life practice. And it's, you know, I've been working with people for years, and I can tell you that immediately, within, you know, the first session or two, when we do this inner work, that people start noticing changes. In 3 to 6 months, they notice some very big changes, and 12 months down the road, you wouldn't even recognize their personality. They have changed so much for the better. I have a fellow in England who's studying to be a PhD candidate for comparative religion.
Wow.
And he just was one of the most closed individuals, and just all sorts of pains and anxiety and everything. All of that is basically gone now. And while he was unsure if he was going to move forward with his PhD studies, he's been accepted now. He's starting his program, and all of that he equates or you know, attributes to the fact that we've been doing such detailed inner work. Because before you, again, you know, we were talking about the shadow, and you have to face these things and learn. This is the thing. You know, people will say intellectually, okay, yeah, I love it and I want to understand it and I'm going to wrap my arms around it. But what they're really doing is hiding their hands behind their back with a hammer and chisel. Mm. And so you literally have to learn. And your nervous system, your system knows when you're doing that. You have to literally learn to change your perspective and literally learn to be willing to sit with the pain, to embrace it, and go through that and understand. And it's not as easy as it sounds. It's not difficult. It just takes persistent practice. And we generally meet once a week. We do detailed session work. And in time, when you're able to establish that equanimity, now you're able to look at those dark places. You're not cringing about it. You realize it's you. You've reclaimed that power. And you're at a position now where you're able to do what I call reflective self-emanation. If you think about it, everything you want, every desire you want, you already feel inside of you. That means it exists. You couldn't feel it. You couldn't know there was a want if there wasn't something there already. So this thing exists in you, and it's the constrictor that stops it from emanating from you. We call it the law of reflection, not the law of attraction, because this thing resides in you. So what we teach you to do is, one, shift your perspective, two, learn to radically accept yourself, and finally, get out of your own way so that you can have the things that you want. And it is effortless. It just starts flowing out of you. And that's the beauty of it.
Well, it's a powerful system that does work. And this radical self-acceptance, I love that. I just love that whole concept. We had a guest on the show not too long ago who was a shaman, and we asked him, Patricia and I, what was your greatest accomplishment when you went to Ecuador? And he said, well, I learned how to accept myself. And it was just such a simple statement that we kind of were a little speechless there for a moment. But then the power of it hit us that's really what it was about. And it's still, and even here we're talking about alchemy and the power of transformation through alchemy. And yet it does have that element where you have to radically accept yourself, accept all the shadow pieces, all the other pieces, everything that you've shoved away. You have to accept it all. It's so important. And
my mentor says that perfection lies in our seeming imperfections. Mm. And that is so true. When you can learn to accept yourself, you know, what is called the good or the bad, those quirks, that's where you're able to be free, absolutely free, and work in concert with the universe so that your desires are emanated. And that's what we all want, is that type of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love what I do.
Now, do you feel that freedom in your life today? Do you feel that you've achieved that for yourself? That's a question.
Oh, most definitely. I get to do what I want all day long, which is work in my laboratory, write lessons, teach people. I pinch myself. My mentor was one of the world's best programmers. I met him at a time when I had for a while stopped doing alchemy, and I was doing programming. It was in the mid-90s when the internet was just coming up. And though I had used alchemical products and, you know, knew that I could learn through intuitive means and through dreams, I never extrapolated it out into the outside world. Now, this man started working on loading docks, taught himself computers. The company he was working for had 3 warehouses. None of them talked to each other. He made a program that his IT, that their IT department couldn't, wasn't able to do, and he saved them millions of dollars. They said, okay, you're not working on the loading dock anymore. You're going to our IT department.
Right.
He goes there. Everybody's looking at him. All the IT guys are angry because, you know, they're feeling threatened. And here's this guy with, again, a 12th grade education who taught himself. Mind you, he can read binary. Literally, he can read binary. So he's trying to study all these books, you know, because he doesn't want to look stupid. And he said he was on the bus one day going home, and he had the intuitive thought. He literally heard his inner voice say, I will tell you everything you need to know when you need to know it.
Wow.
And he never opened another computer book after that.
Ah, incredible.
Now, he told me, John, you can do that same thing. That's what you've been doing with alchemy. It's the same thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
This man wrote a program for Merrill Lynch. That's the, you know, the financial house, the trading house.
Right.
700 servers, 20,000 workstations worldwide. Nothing can be lost. Nobody knew how to do that. And mind you, today this is commonplace, but back in the late 90s, this was brand new.
Yes, it was.
They were thinking, well, you know, this guy, he doesn't have a degree. So they brought in PhDs, and they said, you know, check this guy's ideas. The PhDs looked it over, and they said, we don't know where he's getting these ideas from, but they're light years ahead of anything that we were thinking of doing, and it works.
And it was so effortless for him. And that's the thing. It's like we're taught to learn in such arduous, painful ways, but there's so many other ways to connect with that higher intelligence and have everything downloaded as we need it, just like they told him. We'll give it to you as you need it. I've got another question for you, John. Actually, quite a few questions about the use of crystals in alchemy.
Okay.
Can you speak to that?
Yes. There are two things. You know, everybody knows how to use crystals. They love using them. In alchemy, minerals are minerals. So the minerals that are in plants are the same minerals that go to make up crystals. So in a very real sense, you can take the salts from a plant ash, crystallize them, and program them to hold a specific quality. And the difference between the crystals from, or crystalline salts from a plant and, say, quartz, is that you can ingest the crystalline salts from a plant, and it will do the same work as quartz. Now, there's also something else that we do in alchemy, and this has to do with what we call a oil. It's actually a catalyst type thing, but the ancient alchemists called it an oil of the minerals. And when you process these minerals in a specific way, you get this oily substance. Basically, what's happening is the liquid that is poured onto the spagyric preparation, when the liquid is poured onto it, everything gives off a background radiation, a specific frequency. It breaks the molecular chains of that liquid at certain points, and that energy is imparted to it. And it acts now as a catalyst. It keeps that, and you can ingest that, what we call alchemical sulfur, that oil from the mineral. If you make an alchemical product, you actually put the mineral through a radical dissolution. And when that's done, what's freed is what's called the quintessence. And the quintessence is different from the arcanum that I spoke about earlier. The quintessence is literally everything that was, is, and will be about that particular subject of nature. And so it is like stepping into almost a time machine, because now you literally have at your disposal your entire evolutionary probability, and you can do with it what you choose. So while the arcanum is something that deals with the here and now, the alchemical quintessence is something that just takes you light years beyond that. But again, it would be morally deficient of us to just give this to people and they're not prepared for it, because as strong as you think that spagyric rosemary tincture was, there's stuff that I have that would literally blow your mind if you were not prepared for it. It would.
So, do you then step people up to be able to handle those higher levels of extracts and essences that you have? How do you determine when somebody's ready for something like that?
Well, there's actually a graduated type of course and graduated products that we make. So the very first thing is an extract. And usually we have people make that themselves when they're taking our classes, because it allows us, when a person is engaged in this work, they have certain difficulties. And this is it, and what it does, again, I'm speaking about the interconnectedness of everything. So when you're trying to make the alchemical product, your blocks are shown in the difficulties that you have with certain things at certain places. Like some herbs are just going to, when you're using it, are going to require more solvent than, say, your classmates of rosemary would. And you might be able to get, when you calcine, you turn to ash the plant body, your hawthorn or your hyssop might turn white, whereas your classmates, they barely got it past black. So all of these things are letting me know what's going on inside of you when you make this basic thing. And we put you through some preliminary work, inner work, and then we start gradually going deeper and deeper in the inner work and giving you higher and higher products. So it really is a graduated course of study and a graduated use of various products, because I'm not about causing carnage. I want people, grow to their full potential and be able to, you know, just have the life that they want. I mean, because I'm blessed. I'm a fellow who taught himself basically alchemy. I mean, there were a few guys that I studied with, but most of what I know has come from meditation, my dreams, the use of the products, and, you know, what nature has revealed to me. And to be a fellow with a 12th grade education who literally has had people fly in from around the world to learn from me, in my wildest dreams, I didn't
think. But it's also a recognition of what you've done, is that you've sourced this information at the source. So it's not book learning, it's really getting the information from the source. And I got to tell you, John, you've spoiled us, though, because now just typical rosemary oil's never going to do it. we're going to only have to use these types of tinctures and extracts and essences from Red Lion. I'm not kidding. I mean, I have used so many essential oils and worked with so many other alchemical products, but I'm very impressed with what you've been able to do.
John? Thank you very much, and I will definitely continue sending you and Patricia as we roll out new products.
Oh, wonderful. I'm excited.
What we're looking at right now is with our Indiegogo campaign. My laboratory is really a research size laboratory. So we're looking to be able to get more equipment and a larger lab space. And that's what our Indiegogo campaign is about, is so that we can move into a production mode, a commercial production mode. And by commercial production mode, I don't mean that we're trying to be in GNC and on store shelves. We're artisanal producers. We're never going to produce that quantity, basically just because if you do this stuff right, you can't produce those type of quantities. It takes time. The largest batch we make is about 20 liters, but fortunately, the products are very concentrated. We put them in, depending on what the product in is, it's either a 1 ounce bottle or a 5 mil bottle, depending on the strength and the grade of the product. But that's what we need people's help with right now. We've got persons that are coming forward to help us, and we can.
How much money are you looking to raise, John, for this?
Initially, right now, what we're looking to raise is $15,000. That's going to get us the expanded equipment that we need. We have a temporary laboratory space, a larger laboratory space that we're getting ready to move into. So that will allow us to get that equipment, and eventually, with the investors that we're speaking with, we'll be buying a farm, raising our own, growing our own herbs, and have a much larger expanded laboratory. But everything is step by step.
So for people that want to help and participate in this, and that I believe you said that essences are available when they do and different things like that, where would they go? They go to redlion.com?
Yes, they go to redlionlabs.com, click on our Indiegogo link. It's right there when you go to the website. It says Indiegogo. Click on that, and it'll give you all the information, and there'll be a link there to our Indiegogo campaign. And you'll be able to see all the different incentives that we have for when you contribute to us. Again, we have some rosemary some rosemary extracts. We're in the process of producing 5 liters of rosemary tincture, which is what you and Patricia had. We also have some ginseng that I was talking about earlier, ginseng tinctures. This is a very high-grade ginseng. This isn't the cheap stuff. I mean, it's expensive. But we're doing this at some rather nice incentive points that I think are quite affordable, and people will enjoy them. These products, again, are very potent. You need very little of it. Most people, 1 to 3 drops, and you feel it. And there is a specific way of utilizing it, and I guess I should cover that.
Yes, tell us. Now, what are the instructions when people buy these? What do they need to do?
The main thing is when you use one of our products, our tinctures especially, is that you put the drops on your tongue, and then you breathe in to allow it to volatilize. It's sort of like you're performing a reverse whistle. And what that does is, because the way it's made, it's very volatile, and it will get into your system a lot faster without being degraded. And you will feel, you'll feel the energy. I just finished using some of the ginseng. I just completed it the other day. I was like, wow, this stuff is great, man. You know, and I was expecting that, of course, but I'm thrilled and pleasantly surprised when I use my products that they do what they do, and to have had so many persons evaluate them and come back and give the same results I've had and more is just extremely satisfying.
John,
and we want to share this with as many people as we can.
John, I'm curious, if someone comes to you and says, I'm in need of something for a specific reason, that they don't want to learn how to make their own tinctures, they want to know what is the most appropriate one for them going through circumstance, can they contact you, and would you tell them what is the better product to use and how to use it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I would. I realize that, you know, not everybody wants to do the inner work. Our products do work physically. I would more than likely supply them with an extract, depending on if it were a tincture, it would probably be slightly diluted, only because, again, you know, Patricia, you experienced that some inner things that you had to deal with come up. And,
yes.
You know, I don't know a person from Adam who comes
right.
to me out of the blue. It would just really be morally deficient for me to give someone something that could uncover a lot of inner material that they're not ready to process. You know, that would be really egregious.
Do you use a scale of would you speak with them of how to decide what is appropriate for that individual?
Yeah, my intuition, I'm really good at that.
Yes, because I can tell that from how you've told us about everything tonight. You are extremely intuitive.
And, you know, so we listen, we try to help people. I know that the extracts are something that everyone can use, and so we're not worried about that. But when you start getting into the higher products, we have things that are tinctures, essences, what we call strong waters. We have spagyric oils from plant minerals, plant stones, spagyric oils from the seven metals of the ancients. All of these things are quite powerful. And, you know, like I said, when I started using these things, it was like I was on an acid trip. That's how lucid the dreams were. And I literally got instruction. Okay, I'm not a chemist. I'm not a doctor. I literally got instruction in my dreams of what to do in the laboratory and what to expect. And when I went and did it, exactly what I was told would happen did happen. So this stuff isn't a joke. It's very real. And that's why we're circumspect about, you know, we won't just, like some companies, they'll go and they'll sell a spagyric oil from a mineral to anyone. Mm-hmm. We won't do that because I know I make my stuff correctly. I know what it will do. And, again, it would be morally deficient. You know, you don't give something that strong to someone who's not prepared for it and who really doesn't understand what might happen. Even if you tell someone, you know, this is going to happen, it's, you know, usually people write back and say, wow, that was really strong. I wasn't expecting that. But I told you what to expect. But yeah, that was, I know what you said, but wow.
It did what you said and then some.
Yes. So this is the type of thing where, you know, we really need to work with you. But we will do that. And, you know, if you come to us and you say that you're having some issues or whatever it is like that, we'll try and work with you. Our thing, you know, we all have to live in this world. But I call it materialism 2.0. It's not just about making coin. It's how you go about making that coin. You know, so a lot of times we have slots for people that have financial difficulty in our different in our classes. We always seek to give back. And, you know, it's you're not paying for the initiation. You're simply paying to help, you know, the electricity and what it costs to make these things and the salary of the individuals that are helping me. But the initiation and the experiences that you get, you can't pay for that. No one has. If you were the Sultan of Brunei and you said, here, John, here's everything that I own, you still wouldn't have enough to pay for what these things actually give you. And so that is always free. And we seek that, you know, we seek to help people and work with people. And if at all possible, we don't turn folk away. That's our mission in life, simply to help folk.
That says a lot about you. Couldn't ask for anything any better than that.
And again, it's a nice feeling of comfort that people coming to you are in good hands, that you do really have their best interests at heart, and that's an important issue today when there are so many things at odds, and the odds are not in our favor because of what's happening around us. But again, I can't say enough, and I know, Patricia, you feel the same way, about the power of the rosemary that you sent us. It's so exciting to have that experience and now to have you on the air with us talking about the more detailed aspects of alchemy. It's a whole new way of looking at it. There's so many people that have had questions in the chat room about the old symbols. What do they mean? Well, I think this is what you've done for people tonight is you've taken it out of the old symbols that nobody can make any sense out of, it's a layperson anyways, and you brought it to a place of we can really use this information, and this is how. So people, you can go to redlionlabs.com, and you can contact John. You can go to their Indiegogo page to help raise money for their new laboratory, new equipment, and be a part of this exciting adventure to see more essences be created and take part in all of this. It's a wonderful way to transform. And, John, can't thank you enough for joining us tonight on the show. It's been so interesting.
I can't believe an hour and a half gone by.
I didn't even
cover a tenth of what I wanted to.
You're going to have to come back, that's all. Right?
Exactly, right.
I most definitely will. Thank you so much for having me.
John, it's been a delight.
We have learned so much tonight, and our whole audience and everybody in the chat room is so excited by what you've shared. And certainly we're going to have you back to talk about some of the deeper aspects of alchemy and what it can do for people. We need this work. We all do. We need the help. And again, it's redlionlabs.com. We've been speaking with John H. Reed III, who is the Chief of Laboratory Operations at Red Lion Labs. So again, John, thank you so much. It's been just so exciting, wonderful information, and I can't wait to get the next product, so I'm excited.
Me too.
Okay, we'll be getting that next week.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, wonderful. All excited. I'll be hounding the mailman.
That's right. Is he here yet?
Oh, how wonderful. Okay, great show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And everybody, we will be back again next week with another show. And actually, we'll be talking with Carol Guyette, who's going to be calling in from Ireland. And we're going to continue this conversation about plants and herbs in a new way with Carol, because she's talking about a personal relationship you need to have with plants to get the benefit. Not so very different from what we've been speaking about tonight, but she has her own approach, and she'll be sharing that with us next week. So be sure to join us. This is all about you, this show, all about your own healing and your own consciousness. So everybody have a safe week. We will see you on the Blue Highway. Good night, Patricia. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Patricia. Good night, John.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with...